What if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors, as early as stage one, all in under an hour. And now, you can go beyond imaging. With 80-plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture, this Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it is the refreshing!
Tommy Lou Gowerd.
Start dart.
I love Tommy.
No biggie.
Yeah, dude's dog's damage.
I believe in positive Tommy.
Oh, I've been working nights.
Tommy the legend.
We all know Tommy Lugauer is a generational talent.
It's After Hours with Tommy Lugauer on The Fan.
Say it, honey.
All right, let's go. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It was almost a perfect weekend for the Yankees, but it ended on a rough note. And we'll start with Friday first, which had all the feels of maybe a turning point in the season. You know, the Yanks are going quietly into the night. The Braves take control of the game late in the game. Then they tack on a run. And it looked like the Yankees were going to have another listless offensive performance. And then really out of nowhere, they rallied in the game, sparked by Lombard. And listen, George Lombard Jr., is showing the maturity, the defense, and yeah, in this short sample size, the offense of a 10-year vet. And Lombard got things going. Ben Rice finally got off the schneid. Wells got a big hit, and it was a long rain delay, a very long night. Not everybody stayed at Yankee Stadium, but those that did were gifted a great night and a great celebration, and it kind of propelled the Yankees. Remember, the Braves came into the series red hot, winners of 8 in a row, and they have a great bullpen, and the bullpen in particular, Iglesias, just wasn't on his game on Friday night. And then Saturday, the Yankees get a victory, and then you have Cam Schlittler on the mound on Sunday, and you're figuring this is going to be a sweep. And Schlittler pitched his ass off, but something happened that has continue to happen throughout this year, and that is the Yankee offense not showing up. And they struggle in extra innings, even with the Friday night win in extra innings. They reverted back to the struggles that they've had throughout the year in extra innings. And the 10th inning on Sunday is just a microcosm of the struggles of this team. I mean, the at-bat by Spencer Jones, and look, I'm out on Spencer Jones, especially offensively. He's just too many swings and misses. He's going to be the odd man out when the reinforcements come back, assuming they do. Defensively, he's really good, but offensively, Spencer Jones, you can't have that kind of at-bat in the 10th inning with a runner on second. You know, that guy that comes up first when you're down a run, I mean, bare minimum, you got to get the runner over. And then McMahon gave you nothing in that spot either to end the game. So you had two just listless, lifeless, awful at-bats in the 10th inning. And the Yankees spoiled not only a great performance by Cam Schlittler, but they spoiled what would have been, I felt like, a great weekend and something that you could really say, hey, boy, you sweep the first-place Braves. You get outstanding pitching throughout the weekend, and you really drop the blueprint of what you can be going forward, but especially come postseason time. But it wasn't to be. And right now, the Yankees can only control what is in front of them. I mean, I sound like Aaron Boone here, but it is true. The Rays are just winning every single night. And part of that is they played the heartless, gutless, just awful Mariner team, which the Yankees are going to get here ready-made to order coming up in the next series. But Tampa's just been on a roll. Boston and, hey, I've said this all the time when it comes to baseball. Bad teams beat really good, if not great teams, in series often. Like, you don't think it happens, but it does. And I'm not saying that the A's are going to be good teams throughout the year. I'm saying that if you could look at almost every single weekend, and I'll show you a bad team beating a good team or a hot team in any given series. Nothing is certain. And that was definitely the case in Boston. But the Yankees can't even control what the Red Sox are doing. Yeah, they have to keep them at bay, but the Yankees can only farm their own land. And they're going to have to farm that land with the guys they have on the field right now. Because reinforcements are not walking in that door or through that door anytime soon. Stanton, Judge, Bellinger, you're not seeing any of them. The earliest you're seeing any of them is after Labor Day. And we'll get into the recent thing that Aaron Boone had to say about Stanton, because this one is, I mean, they're all kind of, you laugh because it's Aaron Boone speak, and then it's more Aaron Boone speak, and then by the end, he just throws his hands in the air and says, well, your guess is as good as mine. I've been saying this for a while now. The Yankees have a championship pitching staff, a championship rotation, a championship bullpen, although it's fair to have concern that the bullpen can run out of gas by the end of the year. Now, certainly some of these starters are going to move out to the pen, a Will Warren, a Clark Schmidt, Weathers, heck, even Rodon can go out. Like, there are different avenues and paths for starters because you're so strong in the rotation. Come postseason time or late in the year, there is room for those starters to move to the bullpen to give guys rest that are overworked. But this is an offense right now, and Grisham got a big hit over the weekend, but still, he stinks. Spencer Jones, I'm out on him. McMahon is a part-time backup player. Jazz Chisholm, I mean, look, the idea that Luis Arraez is playing his baseball in Philly and not New York because of Jazz Chisholm, to me, is just a major head-scratcher. You had multiple options. You could have either moved Jazz to another position to make room for Arraez, or you could have just cut bait with Jazz Chisholm. He is struggling mightily, Jazz is. And look, outside of a couple of clutch home runs this year, it has been a major disappointing season for Jazz. And look, he set his heights and sights very high. You know, he said, oh, I'm going to hit 50 home runs and steal 50 bases, which was never happening. But I have no issue with being confident. I have no issue with shooting for the stars. But he, Jazz Chisholm, is going to fall woefully short of those expectations and sort of predictions that he put on himself. And with the departure of Volpe, and now that he is no longer, although, get ready because it's already starting to happen, the idea that Anthony Volpe is going to be the second baseman next year, especially with the way Jazz is playing, he's playing himself out of New York, and they won't bring him back on a new contract. But get ready for that down the stretch and in the offseason for Volpe at second base. But now that Volpe isn't up with the big club, you have to find sort of a new guy to target. And I'm not saying it's unfair targeting, but there always has to be that one guy that's under the microscope that the fans and just the media kind of go after. And I think Jazz is going to fall under that microscope and fall in those crosshairs because he has been awful. But you know what? Some of it has been masked by the fact that others have struggled. And as long as Anthony Volpe's around, he's going to get the lion's share of the sports sort of hatred and sports ire. But now that Volpe is down in the minors, it's Jazz's turn. And Jazz has to be better. Tell me if you heard that before this year. I mean, it's August now. It's not May. It's not June. It's July. It is August. The Giants and Jets are playing preseason football this week. And yet here we are still talking about Jazz Chisholm and his struggles.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors, as early as stage one, all in under an hour. And now, you can go beyond imaging with 80-plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture. This Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it is refreshing!
And there was an opportunity for Brian Cashman, several opportunities to improve this team at the deadline, and he decided to only go half the distance instead of saying, hey, look, you know what? We're going to really shake things up. We're going to either move Jazz to the outfield or we're going to just move on from Jazz and we're going to bring in a player like Luis Arraez, who we could put at the top of the order because leadoff has been a problem for the Yankees for quite some time. You know, finding that guy to put at the top of the order, finding a guy that hits for, you know, DJ LeMahieu. I mean, a guy that could hit at the top of the order, hit for a high. When LeMahieu first came over here and he truly was the machine, the Yankees had something. Even Grisham in that year he had last year, which was a career year, and he had a million clutch hits. His struggles in October as the leadoff guy killed the Yankees. Killed them. And here we are again where the Yankees don't seem to have a guy that they could put at the top of the order. Maybe Lombard becomes that. Certainly, I'm sure the fans would want that. And I could see it and I can understand it, but that's a lot to put on a guy. I mean, he just got here. And that's really an indictment on the state of the Yankees that we're talking about a player that has played less than a week as far as, hey, this guy could be an option as our leadoff hitter. This is not a basement team. This is not a team that is just playing out the string and bringing up young players and saying, all right, we'll hit him leadoff. We'll hit him cleanup. We'll see where he can kind of get in where he fits in. No, this is a team that is going to October, that is going to the postseason, and they don't have a leadoff hitter again. They don't have a third baseman again. Center field, major issue. Second base, major issue. I'll give the Yankees all the credit in the world for Friday night. That was a gutsy win. And they took advantage of a major mistake by the Braves. Ozzie Albies, I don't know where in the world he was going in that first inning. No idea. And he cost the Braves a run and ultimately cost them the game. But credit the Yankees for, look, they could have just packed it in and said, you know what, we're getting mowed down again. We're just going to go quietly into the night. It was a long rain delay. Jazz is in a t-shirt. Trent Grisham's in a t-shirt. And that was weird. I mean, Paul O'Neill commented on Jazz Chisholm in a t-shirt, and then that Grisham was in it. He was basically like, all right, fine, whatever. I thought that was odd, too, but odd in the sense of, all right, I see a guy enjoying a lollipop. I see a guy in a t-shirt. It's just, it's different. I don't necessarily think there's anything wrong with it. It's just one of those things that you see, and you're like, oh, okay, that's different. That's interesting. That's unorthodox. Never seen that one before. But I don't have, like, a major problem with it, with the lollipop or a t-shirt or anything like that. I have more a problem with the way Grisham and Jazz Chisholm are playing and their contributions or lack thereof at the plate. That's more what my issues are. And getting players back will help. But there's also something else you got to factor in here. And I think it's incredibly... To say that Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton are going to walk back into this Yankee world and walk back onto the field and be at their best when both guys have been out for a considerably long amount of time, that's asking a lot. Now, you still take them at 70% or 80% or whatever the percentage is going to be, but saviors is a strong word. You know, at some point, the Yankee offense and the other guys, Chisholm, McMahon, Wells, players that you really don't have a lot of wiggle room with now, they're going to have to step up. And they're going to have to perform because Aaron Judge comes back. All right, well, they'll pitch around them in October. We've seen that before. Luis Garcia Jr. stays hot. They'll pitch around him. They'll find, meaning good teams in October will find your weaknesses. They will exploit them. They will figure out a way, whether it's pitching around somebody or whatever the case may be, they will find a way to get to the underbelly. I just think Luis Arraez should be wearing a Yankee uniform right now. Said it for weeks. High contact. Doesn't strike out. Lombard Jr. has been a major, major, major plus. Major plus. Garcia has been a major plus. But you're also banking now on these other guys coming back and being tip-top form. Bellinger's the safest because he's only going to be out for a month or so. We're talking about April for Stanton and June for Judge since they've been out. And I got to imagine it's frustrating. Look, Cam Schlittler pitched an incredible game. This should have been the slam the door, sweep the Braves. And you can only control what's in front of you. You can't control what the Rays are doing. They're on a roll, and they've been on a roll all year. You can't control what the Red Sox are doing. And look, they stumbled and kind of fell on their face against the A's. Stuff happens. It really didn't surprise me either when I saw that. For some, it might. It nothing surprises me in baseball. Seriously. The Dodgers could lose 8 in a row. I go, okay. Team could win 15 in a row. I go, yeah, sounds about right. A bad team, a miserably bad team, could beat the hottest team in baseball. And I'd say, yeah, it sounds about right. It's a sport that's played every single day. There's so many variables. And nothing truly, truly stuns me when it comes to a 162. October, a little different story. That's when the rubber meets the road. But as far as 162, nah. Nothing really shocks me. And that's why you have to, at times as a fan, keep that kind of, if you can, that even keel mentality. Because just when you least expect it, your team can win 8 in a row. Oh man, we got a tough schedule coming up. Well, we won 8 in a row. Or, hey, we got an easy schedule and we lose 8 in a row. Like nothing's a certain. Nothing's a given. You'd like to have more of an advantageous schedule, and more often than not, you're going to take advantage of it. And you should. That's really where you have these seasons where you're winning 90-plus games is because you beat the bad teams. And you hold your own against the good teams. And on a given weekend, you can deliver a sort of a knockout punch to a great team. And Sunday was an opportunity to deliver that, and all the Yankees had to do was scratch a few more runs across the board, and they couldn't. And once again, they were presented with a golden opportunity. You only give up one run in the top of the 10th. You sign for that every single time. You give up zero, you're going to win. You give up one, you still should win. But you got an empty at-bat from Spencer Jones. Like I said, I'm out on him offensively. Defensively, he's really good. And look, down the line, perhaps, but I don't like those all-or-nothing players, especially on an all-or-nothing type of team. He's just too much Spencer Jones like the rest of them. And that's a look, Jazz shouldn't be all or nothing. You should be getting a higher average out of Grisham. I understand that. There are players that are not carrying their end of the bargain. And if they were, it would make a Spencer Jones in the lineup more palatable. And look, Spencer's going to find himself, he's not going to be getting playing time when other guys come back, or he's just going to get sent down. But they're going to expand the roster, so probably he'll stay up. But he's not going to see big, as they would say in basketball, minutes, but he's not going to see big opportunities down the stretch. I don't see that happening. The blueprint is there. You saw it throughout the three games here. Starting pitching. Fried, Cole, Schlittler. That is the driving force of this team. You have three dominant starters that can go toe-to-toe with anybody in the sport. And as long as you have that, you have an opportunity to win and win big. It is a championship rotation. The Yankee offense, whether they get guys back or not, because it's, well, they're not going to, it's not like you're driving down to Disney and halfway down there you say, oh boy, I left my cell phone at the house, or hey, we left our sunscreen at the house. You're not turning around. Meaning if Aaron Judge and Stanton don't come back, the Yankee season, you're not waving the white flag. You're not saying it's over. So no matter what, the guys you're watching today, the overwhelming majority of them are going to have to perform when you get to the postseason. And that's why I wanted the Yankees to do more a week ago. That's why I wanted a rise on this team. That's why I wanted a professional catcher on this team. Because when it rolls around to the bleep cutting time, when you get to the final couple teams left in baseball, your weaknesses will get exploited. Always happens. And we've seen it time and time again with this Yankee team. They have to hit come postseason time consistently. If they don't, even with this rotation, because you could lose 1-0, you could lose 2-1. And that's a damn shame because they have great starting pitching. And the last thing you want to do is waste that. Teams would kill for the starting pitch in the end. And look, the back end of the bullpen, too, has been unbelievable. Bednar has been terrific. Hedrick, Blackburn, I mean, it is really strong late in the game. I would take the Yankee pitching top to bottom, and I would put it up against anybody, including the Dodgers. That's how good I think it is. But when it comes to, and just for this example, for the Dodgers, it's all about the margins. It's about the margins. And in those margins, that's where you need Grisham, Jazz, McMahon, Wells, even Bellinger, who has had his October struggles. That's where you need them to step up. Judge, Stanton, they're not magic elixirs, because there are only two hitters in the lineup. You got to get that complete production out of everybody. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer. It is Lugie in the Late Night. Coming up, we will detail in great detail for you what Aaron Boone had to say about Stanton and his recovery and when we may see him back on the field in an actual major league game. We'll also let you know just how wise above his years that George Lombard Jr. is and wise above those years he is. We'll explain that as well coming up. And take your phone calls at 888-808-1019. A lot of Yankees in the first hour here. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan.
A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between thinking about photography school and selling your portraits online. It's the difference between giving away those cookies you just made for free and running your cookie empire. A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between having a movie reviewing hobby and a movie reviewing career. Squarespace, because no matter what you're into, a website makes it real. Use offer code The Difference for 30% off every plan. Terms and conditions apply.
What if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one, all in under an hour. And now you can go beyond imaging with 80 plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture. This Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, absolutely refreshing!
People say, I got you, all the time. Dads say it to their kids the first time they ride a bike. Friends say it to other friends when they buy them lunch. It's a good thing when someone's got you. It's especially good when someone's got you with important things like your health. And that's where WeShare's got you. We got you with a massive nationwide network of over 1 million doctors, which means you can likely keep your current doctor you know and trust. We got you with affordable prices that can save individuals up to $5,000 annually compared to traditional insurance, and save families even more. And we've got you with over 68,000 CVS Caremark pharmacies across the country. If you're tired of overpriced health insurance bills, come visit us at WeShareHealth.org or call 1-888-WeShare. Other smart Americans are making the switch every day. In a world filled with companies that cost you, it's nice to have one that's got you. We Share Health. We got you.
1226 here on the Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. Hopefully everybody had a very pleasant Lug evening. It is after hours here on the Fan. 888-808-1019. That'll be the phone number to call throughout the next 4.5 hours here. We'll get to those calls in just 1 second, but first, a little fan focus. Now, this comes from Spencer Jones, and this is about George Lombard Jr. And when a player comes up to the big leagues, especially in baseball, especially at a position like shortstop or catcher or center field, sort of those leadership positions, you look for right away to see if a guy has it. And George Lombard Jr. has it. You could see it right away. The first ball that was hit to him, that throw he made to first base, and then the homer he hit later in the game, you could see it. You could see the poise. You could see the skill. You could see the ability. Obviously, his father played in the league. He is now a coach, George Lombard Sr. So obviously, with both his parents, who we all met and was interviewed the night that George Lombard Jr. came up, you could just tell that George Lombard Jr. just has the goods, and it comes from his parents. And they even said, look, when they say our son is just a nice person, this is his mom saying, you know, when our son is called a nice person, that means more to us than even saying he's a great baseball player. And everything you've seen from this George Lombard Jr. fella is that he is the goods, including this quote that came from Spencer Jones. This is after Saturday's game. Mind you, Lombard has been up here for less than a week. Spencer Jones said that in the cafeteria after Saturday's game, Lombard was already quizzing teammates about Grant Holmes, who was Atlanta starter for Sunday. Quote, he's super mature for his age. He loves baseball, Jones said. Quote, we were eating just now, and he's talking about the pitcher for tomorrow. It just kind of shows you where his head is at. To think about a guy stepping in, and he's only been around for a couple of days in the big leagues, And he's not only after a victory, after the game just ended and everybody's trying to catch a meal, and then they would probably, you know, maybe have a night out in the town or whatever, or they'll focus on the pitcher later on that evening at their house or wherever, apartment, or they'll deal with it in the morning. Here's Lombard in the cafeteria after the game, and he's not only thinking about the next day's starting pitcher, but he's also quizzing his teammates. You know, iron sharpens iron. Something about a tide raising all boats. And George Lombard Jr. is just that. And the Yankees needed his not only enthusiasm, but his defense, his offense, which has been, you know, that was the thing you were worried about a little bit, maybe not being major league ready, but so far, I would say so good. And you see here in this quote by Spencer Jones and the actions by George Lombard Jr. that he is, in fact, mature. He is, in fact, you can see it already, a leader and a guy that eats, sleeps, and breathes baseball, which in this town where there's a lot of distractions, that's a good head to have on your shoulders. When you play shortstop for the Yankees, you're a young dude, and you're at the cafeteria, and you're not thinking about Saturday night, you're thinking about the next day's starting pitcher, and you're already showing leadership, and you're showing maturity and professionalism beyond your years, that is an extremely impressive way to go about things. And I think that says a lot about the player in George Lombard Jr. and just the way he has been raised for this moment, ready to go, to step in. And like I said, there was a lot of pressure that was put on him by not only the fans, I'm sure by himself, Lombard, you know, put on himself, the fans, the media. Save us. Be that offensive spark. Be that defensive spark. And I told you this last week, but if you missed it, George Lombard Jr. doesn't have to be the next Derek Jeter. He just needs to be the first George Lombard Jr. And so far, so great. He's been off to an unbelievable start. And every day he does something that just wows you. And then when you hear things like this, where he's quizzing his teammates about the next day's starting pitcher, says a lot about him. And it just, if you don't have a big smile over your face over this kid, then I don't know what to tell you. I don't know how you can't be romantic about something like this, because young players like this, they represent hope. They represent not only the present, but the future. And you feel like that position, shortstop, is in great hands. Because even if Lombard doesn't quite get to the point offensively where he is defensively, because of that defense, and I think these leadership skills that you're seeing already, that will keep him in the big leagues for a very, very, very long time. Defense, leadership, especially at that position. I'm not saying the offense is gravy, but if that offense doesn't get to where the defense is, you're still looking at a heck of a player and a heck of a, really, a cornerstone and a leader on this team at the shortstop position. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night, here on The Fan. We'll get you a Stanton update that's coming up a little bit later this hour. But first, John in Maspeth joins us. What's up, John?
Oh, Tommy, what's up, man?
What's going on? How you doing?
Yeah, so I heard you say about Spencer Jones. You're like, oh, you're out on him
offensively.
Listen, he hasn't been bad, man. Since him and Jazz, right? Look, Jazz got off to that bad start the first, like, 3 to 4 weeks of the season. Since then, he's held down an OPS of about 770, which isn't bad, but it's also not great. But it's respectable. He's just a streaky player.
He is a streaky player, but he hasn't really had that. Now, he's had some clutch home runs, Jazz, this year, but he hasn't necessarily had that torrid streak that you're looking for. And, hey, the clock is ticking. He still has time. But it feels like, absolutely. I'm not saying he's done. He's done. But Jones, to me, I don't know offensively, John, if Spencer Jones is going to get up to snuff here in the next couple months.
You know what, though? Jazz has a lot of money on the line.
Definitely.
This playoffs.
That could be good or bad, though. Sometimes that.
He's capable.
He is.
He's capable of hitting 3 home runs in a 5-7 game series. He's perfectly capable of that.
No doubt about it. But money sometimes can be pressure.
He does
John.
That. He had the pressure, you know. But with Jones, though, listen, he's been respectable since the second time he got called up. The first time he got called up, he was terrible. He must have had the jitters or something. But since then, he's also held out an OPS of about 750 to 760, and he's hit about three or four balls that were very close to being home runs.
Yeah, but listen, I mean, the defense is amazing. No, the defense is really good. There are things I like about his game, but I just, some of the things offensively, Johnny, and I appreciate the call, I'm out on. And that's nothing necessarily against Spencer Jones. It's just that type of player. I don't think that a guy like that, maybe defensively he could stick around, but you're not going to be long for the big leagues if you can't make a lot of contact and you're hitting for a very low average. And I don't know, for me, what I've seen for Spencer Jones, that's not a winning player offensively. Defensively, I like him a lot. And yeah, for his size, there are things athletically he can do that you wouldn't expect. But yeah, it's just, I think it's personal preference with as far as just offensively what we've seen so far from Spencer Jones and what he profiles to be. Now, as far as Jazz Chisholm, you know, if you're saying he's been average, you're probably being nice. He's not been good. Not only in recent stretches, but throughout the year. If it wasn't for these moments that Jazz has had clutch-wise with the home run, he would be having, I would say, almost as bad a season as Austin Wells. Perhaps not statistically, because that's almost impossible to be as bad as Austin Wells. But as far as just production, lackluster, just not getting it done. So those big moments have saved Jazz. And Johnny, you're right. There are still 2 months left in the year, and there is a lot of money on the table. And I think that the pressure of the money has been a negative for Jazz all year. I said that back in, it might have even been like May or something. I think the pressure that Jazz has put on himself this year to not only get the bag, but also I think to stick around in New York and be a Yankee. Some guys thrive in years like this, contract years. Other guys don't. You never really know. Like, in theory, hey, you're playing for that contract. You know, there's people that think, well, in contract years, guys always have career years. Not necessarily the case. We saw that from Pete a couple years ago, and then obviously had the big year last year, Alonso. It's not always a given. And I think for Jazz, he is struggling right now when it comes to the pressure that he's putting on himself to get that type of contract that he's looking for, because this is his big money contract. When you look at age, when you look at, you know, being in the prime of his career, this is the time for Jazz to really strike gold. And he's not putting together a year that, I mean, look, 2 months left, October, he has a big run. You know, maybe the Yankees do bring him back, or maybe another team does back up the truck for him. But it's been a disappointing year for Jazz. And we've seen bigger names. Now, we don't know what baseball is going to look like in a year, but we've seen bigger names not get long-term deals for big money. Bigger names than Jazz that have had more productive years than him. This series of quotes that I'm going to read for you are just, they are, Aaron Boone, look, it's not an easy gig when you're dealing with the media and you have to, you know, and especially in New York, and you're dealing with a player in Giancarlo Stanton who goes on these long sabbaticals. Now, this year it's been longer than recent years. I mean, we haven't seen Stanton since late April. The parade was at the end of June. Stanton has not been on the field playing in major league games since the Knicks were playing the Hawks in the first round. This is before Cade Klubnik was in the Hall of Fame, because that's what I feel like Jeff fans are already putting him in there. This is before, I mean, Eddie Scazzeri still was working here. Wasn't even on the necessarily, I mean, he still had a month to go at that point. Here are, and like I said, Aaron Boone has to kind of navigate those waters, and he has to kind of answer the same question over and over and over again, and you got to find creative ways to answer the same question with the same answer, but sort of change it around. Here is Aaron Boone from Saturday about Stanton. Now, Stanton jogged. I'm trying not to laugh, but it's funny. It's funny in the sense that it's the same old stuff with Stanton. Stanton, who jogged in the outfield Friday as he builds up following a pair of calf strains. This is Boone from Saturday. Quote, Stanton started the introduction to some bases. Okay. So on Saturday, Aaron Boone said Stanton has, quote, started the introduction to some bases. I didn't know that Giancarlo Stanton, I mean, he's been in the big leagues forever. I didn't know he needed to be introduced to the bases. I figured they were already on a first-name basis. Maybe a reintroduction, but I don't think you needed necessarily an introduction to the bases, but apparently so. Boone was then asked to clarify, which he often is, asked to clarify whether Stanton had run the bases or whether it was just an introductory to the bases. Because getting introduced to the bases and actually running the bases are, I would think, two different things. Like, to me, getting introduced to the base is a player or a coach or a trainer taking Stanton out to one of the bases and just saying, hey, second base, this is Giancarlo Stanton. Stanton, this is second base. I'll leave you two to have a nice discussion. Perhaps you can go out for a cappuccino or something like that. Get acquainted because you haven't seen each other in a while. This was Boone's response to whether or not Stanton was running the bases. Quote, introed in a light way on Friday. Introed, I-N-T-R-O-E-D. All right. Let's go to the monitor here because I've never heard that word in my life. Let's see what it means. Introed is... this is introduced? No, it doesn't sound like he's running based on what I'm seeing here. So he introed it in a light way. Basically, the way I take that is he wasn't running the bases, Stanton. He was introduced to the bases, and then he kind of just, like he was in the park, he kind of lollygagged around a little bit. Here's another quote from Aaron Boone about Stanton. This is from the weekend. Quote, he'll be there when we get him there. Okay. Boone was asked if Stanton is closer to returning in a week or a month. Great question, by the way. Because, hey, you know, he's getting introduced to bases. He's introing. He's on the field at least a little bit further along than Judge, by the way. So I think that's a fair question. Hey, look, Skip, will we see Stanton in a week or could we see him in a month? Now, mind you, a month is post-Labor Day. So, hey, will we see him in August or do you think we'll see him in September? Aaron Boone's response, I don't know. I don't know? You don't know? You don't know. I feel way more confident that Aaron Judge will put on a major league uniform and play in a major league game this season than Giancarlo Stanton. Now, my confidence has gone down a little bit with Judge, even with the recent news that he was cleared for light work, because light work is not baseball activity. And you still have to get ramped up from the point where you get cleared for baseball activity. So you're still looking at a month from when that happens. But the idea that we went through the runaround here with Stanton, and I read you all the quotes there. Some of them didn't make any sense. And maybe in context, maybe when you're sitting down talking to Aaron Boone, they'd make a little more context or have a little bit more context or make a little bit more sense. But the ending of it is all you need to know. Like, we could have just skipped to the ending, but I thought the lead-up was important because it was just Aaron Boone speak. The last thing that I gave you is the most important thing. This is Aaron Boone, over the weekend, asked if Stanton is closer to returning in a week or a month. Boone says, I don't know. He doesn't know. The Yankees don't know. I don't think Stanton knows. Nobody knows. Your guess is just as good as Aaron Boone's or mine or anybody's. This is a player that's been out since April. It's an aging player, a guy that's had a lot of injuries, a lot of summer vacations here. And here we are, August 10th, and Aaron Boone has no idea if one of the key bats in his lineup, especially in October, he has no idea if he's coming back in a week, a month, 2 months. He has no idea. No clue. There's no timetable. That's the answer. Same with Judge. There's no timetable. The only guy that you can kind of set a date, a return date for, is Bellinger. Assuming everything goes well, we expect to see Cody Bellinger a little after Labor Day weekend, which is a little later this year. So it's well into September. You know, usually it's right around the end of August, maybe September 1st, September 2nd. Now it's a week later than that this year. So you figure second week of September for Bellinger. But these other two, Stanton and Judge, You know, I haven't heard or seen or read anything that gives me the greatest of confidence in Stanton. And as far as Judge, look, my level has gone down and down and down with each passing week. And right now I'm at 70% that Aaron Judge comes back this year. And I know he pulled a Terminator, he pulled an Arnold Schwarzenegger, Aaron Judge did, and said, you know, I'll be back. I'll be back this season, okay? I don't want to say, well, what else is he supposed to say? I think Aaron Judge is optimistic. He's the captain. He wants to be out there with his players. He knows that, hey, look, I'm in my early 30s. You know, this is an opportunity, a golden opportunity, especially with this pitching staff. I want to get my rear end back on the field. Now, it's out of my hands right now because until I'm cleared for baseball activity, I could just say I'm coming back, but they're words and words only. Until the medicals come back, until the scans come back, and there is positive, definitive clearance on baseball activity, it's just Aaron Judge telling you he's coming back. I'm not suggesting he's lying. What I'm suggesting is that, yes, he has every intention on coming back because he wants to be out there. But it's out of his hands. It's out of his hands. And as far as Stanton, I mean, you know, Aaron Boone has no idea when he's coming back. None. Sean is in Old Bridge, New Jersey. What's going on, Sean?
Logan!
What's happening, Shawnee? How you doing?
I am doing all right. How about you?
Doing great. Good to hear from you.
It is good to hear from you, too. So before I get to my point, I wanted to bring up one thing that kind of need to get off to my chest real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of heard your conversation with Ozzie the other day.
Okay.
I heard about it, mm-hmm. Saying that I'm like nails on a chalkboard. Like, okay, that's a little bit, he almost took a shot at me.
Well, Sean, honestly. Listen, before I'm going to cut you off right away here. And I've told Ozzie this repeatedly. He just doesn't listen, but I'll continue to say this repeatedly and I'll say it to you again. The caller on caller sort of crime here, I like to put a stop to that. And only you, Sean, can take the high road here because Ozzy is, and look, people take shots at Ozzy, I defend them, but Ozzy will go around and do this forever if you allow it. So what I would say, for someone who has also been accused of having a voice that has nails on a chalkboard, I would say, you know, roll with the punches, Sean. You know, we put you on, you're a valued customer, valued a caller here, valued listener on After Hours. And let Ozzy do his thing in his sort of Ozzy-verse, and let me deal with Ozzy, and then you and I will do our thing in the Shawnee-verse.
Yeah, oh, I like that. I actually like that. That's a cool, that'd be perfect for Universe Planet.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, Sean, you know this. You're a townie. You're a lifer. You're a guy that is born and bred in Old Bridge, New Jersey, wherever that is. I assume there is an Old Bridge there. And
yes,
they're known for the largest Wawa in America. They're also known for, well, that's probably it. And, I mean, that's a great thing to be known for. And you, my friend, are a townie. You're a diehard mm-hmm. Yankee fan. And now let me ask you this. Have you gotten to a game yet this season or not? Because we were talking about this the other day.
I really want to before the season, regular season's done.
You should have went Friday. That was the game to go to. Honestly, that was, to me, Friday night was the game of the year for the Yankees because it had everything. It had the rain delay and the skies on Friday night. I don't know, Sean, if you got to see it, but you're on Twitter a lot. The pictures that they showed of the storm above Manhattan was insane. And look, it's been very humid, as you pointed out to our audience. With humidity, we get thunderstorms. And thank you for that, Sean, because without you, none of us would know that humidity causes thunderstorms. So I'm glad that you were able to educate all of us on that. But the storm and then the come-from-behind victory, the extra innings, Lombard gave you a moment. That was,
mm-hmm.
And there's something, Sean, about going to a game where a lot of people leave that game and you are amongst a crowd that isn't at its full capacity, which it was earlier in the evening. To have a victory like that and share it with everybody, it's a cool moment. So that could have been one you could have went to there, Sean.
Yeah, honestly, but I did have to work when it's one of those days, unfortunately. It happens, like you're busy.
What, you had
like,
to take a night shift? You had to go after hours?
No, not like that. I work during the day.
You do?
Yeah.
So when do you sleep? Because you call me up every night and you work during the day. I wonder out loud, Sean, if you are you somebody like Buddy the Elf where you only need about 45 minutes of sleep, or are you just somebody
no,
that grabs
I'm not
up?
Like that.
4 or 5 hours.
I'm not like Buddy the Elf.
You're not like Buddy the Elf. Okay, because I figured you might just be a nap. Some people are nap people. Like, they'll nap for 2 hours. It's called having young children. They nap for 2 hours. They nap for 3 hours. But they don't really get... I'm a big believer, if possible, to get 7 hours a night, if you can. I know not everybody can, but I think 7 hours... People say 8. I think 7 is good enough.
I mean, like, when I was in high... I will say this is actually true, because when I was in high school, I used to always have to wake up, like, so early, like, 5 in the morning.
Oh, it sucked. Getting up early for high school is so brutal. I mean, seriously. It was seriously the worst. You know, I was... Just to give everybody a little history lesson, so I would get up for high school, and I would wake up almost every single day, because I would go to sleep with the fan on, just like everybody else in our audience. You know, I was you guys back in the day, going to sleep with the fan on. Yep. And I would wake up every morning, and it would be right as Beningo was handing off to the Imus in the Morning show. So it was literally right at that point where I would basically wake up every morning. So that's right now the equivalent would be handing it off to although I guess I would have been 6 a.m. So it's more of Al and Jerry handing it off to Boomer and Geo. But yeah, getting up that especially in the winter where it's dark out, it stinks.
Yeah, it does. Like, I remember when I was in one of the classes I had was ROTC. Like,
what the hell is that?
On Thursday.
ROTC. What is that?
It's an elective.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Got it. We elective meaning, like, is it an elective that you do? Because we used to have where you, in high school where you could go and do, like handyman stuff. You know what I mean? Like, fix cars. I think we call it, like, BOCES or something like that. This is more just like an elective, meaning it's within the 9 period. So instead of taking, I don't know, TV, you're taking ROTC.
Yeah, I mean, they did have that kind of class, too. They also had, like, automotive and stuff like that,
right,
where you could see, like... Because there were one time at Tesla that actually came to the school one time.
Nice.
Which is actually cool.
Yeah, I'm one of the rare people, Shawnee, and we'll get to your Yankee Point in a second. I'm one of the rare people that failed both tech and home ec. So I couldn't fix anything, and I couldn't cook anything. So I was like, I better be able to talk into a microphone, otherwise I'll have zero life skills. And here we are, I could talk into a microphone, and I still can't fix a tire, which we learned a couple months ago, and I can't cook, you know, toast. So that's a little bit of a struggle for me.
I can't do a piece of perfection either.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's overrated. But as far as the Yankees, where do you stand now, kind of off this weekend with the Red Sox losing 2 out of 3, Tampa on a roll, but the Yankees, they had a good weekend, maybe even a very good weekend, but they fell just a little short of the great weekend.
Yeah, honestly, I think, but at least I got to see in Old Timers Day that ceremony was beautiful.
Yep.
I loved it. It was very special. Got to see 2 of the Yankees that I actually met, which were Mickey Rivers and Johnny Damon,
which
cool. I actually met in real life.
Nice.
And Damon I met in D.C. actually, so that was special. But today it was not like it was not meant to be, which happens. It's all right. But at least they get the day off to like recuperate, try to like figure out what the next game plan is.
Well, and you get Seattle too, Sean, and I appreciate the call, bud. You get Seattle coming up here, and Seattle has been so underwhelmingly disappointing. They feel like a team to me in the Mariners, who are now going to quit down the stretch. They have been awful. The Astros are inevitable. Even a subpar Houston Astro team that was 20-31 to start the year. 20-31! 50-plus games into the year. And to me, and that was a weak division. Somebody was going to have to sort of grab the bull by the horns, and I thought it would be Seattle. I really did throughout the year. I was like, all right, it's going to be Seattle. They're going to win the division, slow start, but it's a... Everybody's around 500. They'll eventually get themselves to a point where they could pull away and win the division, and that's not happening. Spoiler alert. Seattle is done as far as where I'm sitting, and Houston is in all likelihood going to win that division. But the Yankees get Seattle, a team that Tampa took to the cleaners over the weekend, and that is great news for the Yankees. Great news. You take 2 out of 3 from Atlanta, and now you get an off day, and then you're staring at the Mariners, a underwhelming, underachieving, horrible offense. I know the Yankees aren't scoring a lot of runs either, but I expect the Yankee pitching, which doesn't completely line up in this series like it did over the weekend here, as far as Fried, Schlittler, and Cole, or Fried, Cole, Schlittler was the order, but you get my drift. And we'll get into the next segment why I think there are a lot of positives to take with the Yankees over the next couple of weeks, starting with the Mariners. We'll also get into some injury news coming up in the next hour in the NFC East that impacts the Giants. We'll get into the Mets as well. And they have been red hot since the trade deadline. A couple things I want to touch on as far as the streak and a couple things for next year as well when it pertains to the Mets. That's all coming up in the next hour or so. Plus your phone calls. 888-808-1019. It is Tommy Lugauer. It is Lugie in the late night. It is After Hours here on The Fan.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's absolutely refreshing!
People say, I got you, all the time. Dads say it to their kids the first time they ride a bike. Friends say it to other friends when they buy them lunch. It's a good thing when someone's got you. It's especially good when someone's got you with important things like your health. And that's where WeShare's got you. We got you with a massive nationwide network of over 1 million doctors, which means you can likely keep your current doctor you know and trust. We got you with affordable prices that can save individuals up to $5,000 annually compared to traditional insurance, and save families even more. And we've got you with over 68,000 CVS Caremark pharmacies across the country. If you're tired of overpriced health insurance bills, come visit us at WeShareHealth.org or call 1-888-WeShare. Other smart Americans are making the switch every day. In a world filled with companies that cost you, it's nice to have one that's got you. We Share Health. We got you.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
What if the thing you're listening to right now never got interrupted? What if it could play uninterrupted from room to room on Sonos? What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? What if you really like how it feels and you become a Sonos person who can't stop saying to their friends, what if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? Because it's not magic, but it's not not magic.